This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's. Back in town. Look out, old Maggie's back.
Yeah.
Chris McMichael.
The Fan. McMonagle here with you on this Football Friday. Friday morning, we have made it. We've made it to the weekend. We've made it to the football season. We have made it to the first series of the gauntlet. As the New York Yankees take 2 out of 3 against the Houston Astros, and we saw the opening night of the NFL season, and it was a festive one. It was a busy one. 888-808-1019. I got you for 3 hours. You take it to 5 o'clock. We got Fleegs on the other side. And it is a Football Friday. We'll have picks. We'll have Marco, Fleegs, and myself back at it for a third NFL season doing our picks. But we'll start with the Yankees. We'll get to the football as Jalen Carter made the beginning of the NFL season. How about that for the beginning of an NFL season? Like, that's how the season starts. Just the way the script writers wrote it up. I mean, you get an injury on the kickoff, which is designed to not have injuries anymore. And then you get Jalen Carter spitting in the face of Dak Prescott, which eliminates him from the game before he takes a defensive snap. The best defensive player on the Philadelphia Eagles. We lost the best player on the Cowboys, 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, when they traded him to the Green Bay Packers. Now you lose the best player on the Philadelphia Eagles defense before the game even starts. Just the way the NFL drew it up. It doesn't matter because everyone's watching. The number's going to be huge and the NFL season's huge. But my goodness, could they start in any worse of a manner than to watch that crap? We'll get to the deck, the CeeDee Lamb drops. We'll get to the game a little bit as Philadelphia, the defending Super Bowl champions, take down the Cowboys week one. First game of the season, 24-20. But we got to start with the New York Yankees. We'll get to the football in a second. But this was a huge win for the Yankees. A huge win for the Yankees as they take 2 of 3 in starting this series and starting the gauntlet. So you know what that means, just so we all understand the rules. And I tweeted this out just so we all know the rules. The rules are now that because the Yankees beat the Houston Astros 2 out of 3 in this very important stretch where the Yankees are playing really good quality teams, and this clearly matters for the postseason, that now, Yankee fans, we are supremely confident that if we play the Houston Astros in the postseason, easy peasy, they just took 2 out of 3. So there goes that. It means so much, these games. So now we have one less thing to worry about. The Astros, write them off the list. Not going to lose to the Astros in the postseason. Just took 2 out of 3 out in Houston. So you feel good about that. And you feel good about Carlos Rodon. Let's just start there. Because let's be honest, because I got into it a little bit with Marash in a couple of tweets. I know that I'm being sarcastic about what these games mean, and I understand I don't take too much into the idea of beating good teams or bad teams. All I care about is finishing one game better than Toronto or the Boston Red Sox and winning the division. And I don't lean too much into finding out so much in every single game. But let's just start here. As Carlos Rodon, since he's been a Yankee, and maybe for his whole career, but we didn't give a damn when he was in Chicago and San Francisco. But since he's been a Yankee, this dude has been the guy who folds when things go poorly. One, he doesn't pitch well in big games. And two, when the ball starts rolling in the wrong direction, Carlos Rodon folds up shop and allows one run to become three or four, and he is unable to stop the bleeding. Well, that dude doesn't exist anymore for the New York Yankees. This guy has been completely different. This was his 16th win last night. He now leads Major League Baseball. Not that wins get you Cy Youngs or anything anymore, but it does tell you that he pitches deep enough into games where this bullpen that's lost more games after leading in the seventh inning than any other team this side of the Arizona Diamondbacks. So it tells you he goes deep into games, and it tells you that he's able to limit the damage. And last night, he was a freaking bulldog. You got to give him credit. He had his changeup working all night. He was locating that fastball. He didn't get a lot of strikeouts. His defense played well behind him for the most part, outside of Rice, which I mean, he's just dropping. I mean, those are easy plays. I can't imagine a first baseman. I don't care. Like, I know they get a lot of flack for playing guys out of position. That's just catching a baseball. I have no idea what happened with Rice tonight. But outside of that, I mean, you have that play. You've got, obviously, in the sixth inning. So he gets through five. He's in the 90-pitch, right around 90 pitches heading into the sixth. And they're talking about on the broadcast, and you know how important it is with this bullpen, right? With this bullpen. And we saw how the bullpen pitched the rest of the way outside of Cruz, and we're going to get to Fernando Cruz in a second. But how important it is to get through that sixth inning for these starters. With the way the bullpen specifically for the Yankees is pitching, but just in general in baseball, you want to get through that sixth. It is a huge difference between asking your bullpen to get 12 outs or asking your bullpen to get 9 outs. And he starts it off. He's got a 2-strike count on Alvarez, who they couldn't get out the entire damn series. He makes a good slider well off the plate, and Alvarez hits a little, 100 hopper down the third baseline for a double. And right there, you're like, oh boy, here we go. And then you get the ridiculous call. And by the way, I don't want to complain about umpiring. I normally don't. This was, without question, the worst officiated series I have ever seen. The home plate umpire tonight just didn't happen to be so disparagingly bad between helping the Astros and hurting the Yankees, but he was awful. How many pitches in the middle of the freaking zone were called balls? For both teams, he just didn't happen to kill the Yankees. He was equally bad for both, where Walsh last night, as the home plate umpire, was particularly awful for the New York Yankees and obviously Devin Williams. And then he makes the ridiculous call on a ball that's clearly caught on a line from McMahon and gives the Astros first and second, nobody out. And Carlos Rodon goes to work. And then he gets a double play that should have been a double play, but Rice can't make the play, ends up only giving up one run. And any other time that we have seen Carlos Rodon, I talked about it going into this series. It's big to win these series. These 12 games, I'll downplay what beating good teams means and all the stuff around it. But we know how important these games are, specifically because they need to win games to win the division. And they're going to play the Blue Jays coming up here for a 3-game set, play the Red Sox at the end of this thing for a 3-game set. These games are important because you want to win the division, and winning these games are the cleanest, clearest way to that path. And this was a big game coming off a miserable loss last night, and Carlos Rodon pitched beautifully. Carlos Rodon stayed off the barrel. Carlos Rodon pitched well into 100 pitches and got out of a jam and outplayed poor defense, outplayed a ridiculous call from the umpire. That was an incredible performance from Carlos Rodon. And I'm sorry, I know that he's had a history with the New York Yankees, and I'm not diminishing it. And of course, when the game is actually played, when he decides, whenever it is, whether it's in the wild card series or the DS, or whenever we see Carlos Rodon in a postseason series, whenever he gets that game to start, we're all going to be nervous because that's the life of a baseball team. That's the life of postseason sports in general. But I don't know how you can't look at what Carlos Rodon has done this year and not feel like he has earned a hell of a lot more confidence in big spots. He's earned it. He's earned every bit of it. He has been much better this year. He's had a couple of games where he didn't pitch well, a couple against the Red Sox in particular. He has not been perfect, but this is a dude who leads the Major League Baseball in wins. He was an all-star, and without question, there are still some big games where he's blown up, but for the most part, in these games where he's pitching relatively well, he has not allowed anything. Umpires, errors, big hits, lucky bounces. He hasn't allowed anything to deter him from keeping a good start, and giving this Yankee team an opportunity to win the game. And that's what Carlos Rodon did last night. That was a big-time play, a big-time game for him, a big-time sixth inning to gut through that. And to me, he's the guy you leave that game with, all, you know, jokes aside about what you can take from these games and what they mean about how they play against good teams. That's the guy I look at and say, this, he made a statement last night. I feel good about Carlos Rodon. I feel good about him and Max Fried at the top of a rotation heading into a postseason series. Now, what do I not feel great about? This bullpen, necessarily. As the Yankees' offense comes through, we'll get into McMahon and his last 7 or 8 games and how important he is, and the big base hit that he comes through before the Trent Grisham home run. And I don't know how many times we can continue to talk about Trent Grisham. 30 home runs from Trent Grisham. 30! 30. And I don't know, 28 of them clutch as hell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
And you get the big hit from McMahon leading into that at bat, and he comes through with the big home run. But two key moments in this game. Obviously, as I said, Rodon getting through the sixth. And then in the seventh, with two outs after Weaver has not been good now for back-to-back performances, he gives up the home run. Then he gets into more of a jam. They have to go to Cruz against Altuve, and Cruz waits until the last second of the pitch clock and throws an absolute perfect split finger in the zone to strike out Altuve. That was a huge moment in the game, as the Yankees had allowed it to become 4-3 after the home run Weaver gave up. And you know, if they tie that game, they're going to win it. And right now, Fernando Cruz has had an incredible season. And you look at this bullpen, they are in desperate need of him. He's been great when he's been healthy. He's missed two long stints on the IL. But that split finger plays. And he has been a strikeout machine when he's healthy for the New York Yankees. And as this bullpen, you can't throw, I mean, let's just go through the names of who you can't throw. Right? You can't throw Devin Williams in a big spot. You can't throw Duvall in a big spot. You can't throw Bednar the closer off of 4 days off, that's for sure, as he was terrible and found a way to get some strikeouts late with a 5-run lead in the ninth. But, like, they're limited. You can't throw Hill against right-handed hitters. Like, obviously, you can't throw Devin Williams. Weaver's not been good. For Cruz to come through in that spot, get that strikeout, and then get through the eighth inning, and to do it in the verbose mannerisms and facial expressions and enthusiasm that he's given you, he's a huge part to this bullpen, and he came through with this biggest moment of the game outside of the home run. That, to get out of that inning and strike out Altuve, who did nothing in the series. As Alvarez was killing him, Altuve's done nothing in the series. He gets a big strikeout there, and the Yankees end up scoring 4 runs in the top of the next inning. Big home run from Trent Grisham, and the Yankees able to hold on after a shaky ninth. But that is a really good, solid win to set up this series against Toronto, because that's really what it's about. Right? Beating the Astros is nice. They've had success in that building. Winning 2 out of 3 against a good team, I suppose that means something. Not that much to me, but it's 2 out of 3. It's about winning this division. And right now, they head into a series against Toronto. Cam Schlittler on the mound tonight with a 3-game deficit, 3 in the loss column, with a 3-game set against Toronto, playing the biggest 3 games of the season. And to head into that with the momentum of beating the nemesis of the last decade in their building. And doing it in a manner with, let's be honest, outside of the eighth inning of Game 2, the New York Yankees dominated this entire series. The New York Yankees were the better team for almost every other inning of the entire 3-game set outside of that miserable eighth inning in Game 2, which cost them a game. They outplayed them. They made mistakes too, the Astros, whether it's obviously the bunts in Game 1, which I'll still never understand, or the pitch clock violations in game number 3 here that gave the Yankees a couple of runs. Like, they made mistakes. The Yankees outplayed them. The Yankees outhit them. This offense right now, without Aaron Judge, and I heard Keith talking about this, the broadcast is talking about it. Let's be honest. They were pitching around him. He walked 3 times in the game. It's hard to kill Judge. He's on base constantly in the series. But he hasn't really come through with that big hit. This offense has been carried by guys like Trent Grisham and Cody Bellinger and Jazz Chisholm, who had to leave the game with hopefully just a banged-up knee, a couple of knees, and should be back. But we talked for so long last year. And the year before that, forget it, when they were miserable in 23. But so much of the talking point about this Yankee team is it's Judge and nobody else. And if Judge doesn't hit in the postseason, you can't win. Well, right now, this offense, and, you know, I'm sure the haters will make excuses. Framber Valdez was all mad and pissed off and throwing meatballs and missed, you know, pissed at his own catcher, so that doesn't count. Christian Javier has, you know, coming off Tommy John, that doesn't count. Like, I'm sure we'll have a bunch of reasons why beating the Astros wasn't impressive. But this offense went into a building and a team that has given the Yankees a tough time, a pitching staff that they threw Framber Valdez and a guy in Javier who owns the New York Yankees. And every game this series, they put up at least 7 runs. And Judge really hasn't done a damn thing. And Stanton, outside of the one solo home run, didn't do a damn thing. They're finding ways to get offense from McMahon, who had a big series, from Trent Grisham, who obviously has had a monster season, from Ben Rice, who's been hitting the ball all over the place. They've been finding ways. Wells had a big game in this series with 3 hits and 3 RBIs. Like, they have done a really nice job, and it's all leading into the most important series of the year starting tonight with Cam Schlittler on the mound against the Blue Jays. This is now the series to try and go out there. If you want to win this division, bare minimum, you have to take 2 out of 3. You cannot fall behind further and expect to still win this division. So the gauntlet is now three games in. The Yankees take the first two of three against the Houston Astros. We say goodbye to Houston for the regular season, see if we see them again. And if so, again, say it with me, the gauntlet rules. Yankees are going to win that series because they won these two out of three games. So you know that's a fait accompli, easy. And now we're hoping to prove the same thing, that they can beat the Toronto Blue Jays and beat them in the playoffs if necessary. But a huge win. Carlos Rodon, Ryan McMahon overcoming terrible umpiring. Trent Grisham yet again. Fernando Cruz, a lot of guys stepping up and the Yankees showing emotion and coming through with a big win. And then you get to the football, and let's talk about the Cowboys for a second, because I'm out there on a limb. I'm out there on a limb talking about how I think the New York Giants can win the first two games of this season, because one, I didn't think much of the Cowboys. I thought the Cowboys were going to take a major hit. Now look, if you watch this game, I thought the Cowboys played pretty well. I thought the Cowboys in the second half completely shut down the running game of Philadelphia. I think this Cowboys passing attack can be dangerous. Williams, their running back, had a good start to the game. Obviously, they kind of took all the momentum when Jalen Carter gets thrown out of the game for spitting on Dak Prescott. And now, here's real quick, too. I'm driving in. I'm focused on the Yankee game. I'm a Yankee fan. These are big Yankee fan, Yankee games. But I'm watching the game. Then I see on social media that Dak Prescott spit first. Dak Prescott spit into the ground as he was walking towards Jalen Carter. The idea that that warranted or somehow, like, it's unfair because Dak spit first, I don't know if anybody actually has that belief. I'm seeing some of that on social media. You must be out of your mind. He spits directly in the chest of Dak Prescott. It's embarrassing. He should be. I'm glad they kicked him out of the game. There might be disciplinary actions further than that, and he deserves every bit of it. How is that possible? How can you spit on someone before the game starts and then walk off the field practically laughing as you are letting your team down to start the game, and they go right down the field on you and score a touchdown and take a 7-0 lead with their passing attack? And thankfully, the Eagles are just too good to even let that beat them. But this Cowboys team, let's just talk about that, because we know how good the Eagles are. We know how good the Eagles are. We know what Jalen Hurts is early on in the game, dominating the game with his legs. Obviously makes the big run on third down to get the first down to ice the game. We'll get to that as well. But I'm more specifically looking at the Cowboys because I'm talking about the start of this season, how important it is for the New York Giants. And I look at this Cowboys team, and I got to be honest, I was impressed with them. Now, CeeDee Lamb drops four drops on the game. The one deep down the field, like on a little skinny post, it is right in his hands. He had a really good game. What he ends up with? He ends up with 7 receptions for 100 and... Let me see, hold on. 7 receptions for 110 yards. So he has a big-time game. And you could tell early on he was getting separation on this Eagles defense. But his drops in this game were absolutely killer. But I have to admit, I was impressed with the Cowboys. I thought the offense looked dangerous at times. I think the passing attack is going to be a problem. I don't expect CeeDee Lamb to have drops like that on a weekly basis. I thought the defense in the second half completely shut down the running attack. In the second half, I think Saquon Barkley has 18 carries for 60 yards. I think in the last, after the long lightning delay, I think he ran for a minus 1 yard from the middle of the third quarter on. So they completely shut down this running attack. Early on, the Eagles were kind of having their way with them. But I got to tell you, I thought at the end of the game, they're unable to make the big play. I'm really curious about their head coach, as they made a big deal that he's never been a head coach at any level before. And the idea that this team didn't expect or couldn't, plan for Jalen Hurts' legs being what hurt them in the biggest play of the game to ice the game is embarrassing. The idea that they left the middle of the field open for him to run for a first down to end the game is almost mind-numbing, considering that was pretty much the Eagles' only offense for practically the entire game. But I have to admit, I thought the Cowboys showed up, played well against a divisional opponent that they're very familiar with on the road, got a little bit of a break early on in the game, but that defense looked better than I thought. They stacked the box, and Philadelphia really didn't have much for them. So I thought it was a good game. It was a good start to the season. Obviously, you know, Philadelphia, we know how talented they are. We know how good that defense can be. And we know, well, especially when they have Carter in there, and we know what Jalen Hurts can do with his legs and his arm. But ultimately, I mean, if you would have looked at it, like for the Cowboys, even though they lost the game, and obviously that's the most important thing, what's frustrating for the Cowboys is, if you look at it, you know, Jalen Hurts threw for 152 yards. He threw for 152 yards. He ran for 62. They held Saquon Barkley to only 60 yards on 18 rushes. Devontae Smith had three catches. A.J. Brown had one catch for 8 yards, and they still lost the football game. Like, if you would have told me that that was going to be the case, that they were going to hold Jalen Hurts to 60 yards rushing, 150 yards passing, keep Saquon Barkley to 60 yards rushing, have Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown ultimately have very little impact in the game, and yet they were still going to lose? I mean, it's a frustrating loss for the Cowboys. But the season starts with a bunch of nonsense as Jalen Carter, who, let's be honest, everyone's praising the Eagles for picking him. He fell to them because of team's concerns with issues like this. And he starts off the season, the NFL season, as we're all watching Roger Goodell and the NFL getting ready for another campaign, as they're probably getting us ready to join another streaming service next year and play in another country and expand. And it starts with an injury on a process that they've tried to mainstream injuries out of it. And then it starts with one of the bigger stars for the Super Bowl defending champs spitting in the face of the starting quarterback for America's team. That's how the season started for the NFL. And nobody cares. We eat it up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
New York sports is more than a game. It's a lifestyle. WFAN is the only place where Yankees, Mets, Giants, and Jets fans come together and sound off. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
All right, 2:30. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. This song always reminds me of Craig. Craig loved this song, and he just started his new podcast. I got to listen to it this morning. I'll listen to it this morning. But that should be good on the, I guess, the Fox Network or whatever. But I know he's doing a podcast. He just put it out there. And the song always reminds me of Craig. He loved Pony. Was a big Pony guy. And me and Fleeks were just talking about something very personal to us. We are big 24 fans, and it sounds like Kiefer Sutherland did an interview, and he's talking about Howard Gordon, the original executive producer, has written some things, and we might be getting more 24 and Jack Bauer. Nothing would make me happier. Those are my passions in life, ladies and gentlemen. I am a huge sports guy, but Yankees, Giants, Knicks, all that. But my outside likes are Lord of the Rings. Since I was a young child and my father would read me the books before they made any movies. Well, maybe not any movies because they had those cartoon versions. Really, The Hobbit. They had those cartoon versions of The Lord of the Rings, but it's too much ground to cover. But they had that cartoon Hobbit movie from like the 70s or whatever. But so I watched that when I was a kid. But my father was into Lord of the Rings. He got it from Led Zeppelin. I think that's where he first picked up on Lord of the Rings because Led Zeppelin makes a lot of references to it in their music. And then he began reading. But I remember walking, my grandfather had a pool in his backyard, and my dad, you know, walking us from our house to my grandparents' house. I forget how, 25 minute walk, and he would be reading Lord of the Rings to us while we did it. The Beatles and 24, those are my three things, and Eminem's waned a little bit, but like, you know, 2003, 2004, C-Mac was big into Eminem, but Lord of the Rings, The Beatles, and 24. And there's always new stuff with those three. That's the one thing. It's amazing. The Beatles have a documentary coming out every 10 days. There's a new Beatles thing coming out. Lord of the Rings is now doing another project, The Search for Gollum or something like that. They got more movies coming out. And now maybe Jack Bauer's back? It doesn't get better than that. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls, though. It's obviously a big, big win for the Yankees. It got nerve-wracking at the end, trying to hold on to a 5-run lead, allowing the bases loaded and allowing the tying run to come to the plate in the form of Carlos Correa and drawing a blank on his name, the first baseman, Christian Walker, and getting 2 strikeouts from Bednar. But ultimately, the Yankees, with a big home run from Trent Grisham, do what they got to do. Big-time star from Carlos Rodon. They take 2 out of 3. They thoroughly outplay the Houston Astros. They take this first series in this 4-series gauntlet. And tonight starts the biggest one of them all against the Toronto Blue Jays at Yankee Stadium. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Moose in Jamaica. What's up, Moose?
What's going on, C-Mac? How are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Chilling. Excited for this. But first things first.
I pop a free goal.
How was the vacation? Yes, Big Daddy C-Mac. I love it when you call me Big Papa. That's
yeah, that's just
sure.
that's another
was,
weird thing of mine.
If Italy.
Go ahead, I'll tell you later. Go ahead.
but how was Italy?
Italy was great. Italy was unbelievable. I've talked a little bit about it. Sicily was a beautiful, beautiful place. I have a couple more stories we'll intermix when I have 5 hours and stuff. But for the most part, it was beautiful. The food was nice. The weather today was the first time I've seen rain in like a month. I don't remember it.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird. I don't remember it raining too much before we left. Then in Italy, I barely saw a cloud, let alone rain. It was just perfect weather. Every day was like 88 to 90 and sunny. I wouldn't have minded it a little bit cooler, but that's pretty good. 88 to 90 and just sun every single day. And then for the last week since I've been back, it hasn't rained. Today was the first time I've seen rain in like a month.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll make this quick because you might have other callers, but
I might.
I can tell with the Grisham at bat that Orr did not want any smoke.
Mm-hmm.
He was not coming close to the plate, and once he hit that 3-run homer, I even said to my dad because I had to watch TV at my parents' house because I'm trying to save money and not have cable. I was like Grisham's trying to put them out of his misery. The Astros. I'm going to the game tomorrow, and
nice.
I'm going to the game next Wednesday so I can have my gear on campus trying to finish my 4-year degree. The Wells football jersey along with the New York or Nowhere cap. I mean, hat.
Nice.
Thanks for taking my call.
No, you got it, Moose. Trent Grisham. I mean, what else can you say about this dude? I mean, that's a huge home run. That's a huge home run. And tell you the truth, what's going to get lost is the McMahon single right before it. As he's got a two-strike count, he just kind of hits a breaking ball low and just gets a good swing on it, hits it hard enough to get off the glove of Pena and score a run. Without that hit, then the home run doesn't follow, and they needed every bit of those runs, although I guess technically they didn't, but it was scary enough where they might have. That was a big hit for McMahon, but then Trent Grisham, I mean, the dude is just incredible. And it's getting to a point, I'm not one to have these conversations over and over again about contracts and stuff. I'm focused on this year. But the conversation about what the Yankees are going to do with their outfield next year is very interesting. I think we can forget the idea of going to get Kyle Tucker. I think you could forget it. Because his track record, he's still going to get big-time money. He hasn't had that kind of season after a really great start to the season. It hasn't been that kind of a great season for for Kyle Tucker. And the difference in money that it's going to cost you over Bellinger, who's been great for the Yankees and plays multiple positions, and now you could throw Trent Grisham into the mix. He's still only 28 years old. He plays a Gold Glove caliber center field, and off of one season, he's going to get paid, but I don't know like at what level. And right now, the only thing that would make you question it is whether or not you've got Dominguez and Spencer Jones that you're hoping to make an impact with this major league roster over the next couple years. And if you go and do that and go pay Bellinger and Trent Grisham, you're kind of stifling that plan, which I don't care. I really don't care. We'll find a spot for Spencer Jones. Dominguez has already been relegated to a bench player as of right now. I still think he can be good, but what Trent Grisham is doing right now is earning him a big-time contract, and I'm wondering if it should be with the Yankees. I never would have suspected Trent Grisham coming back. But you can't let guys who have seasons like this go. Now, I don't want to give him a long-term contract. We'll see what the market dictates for him, but one, I think we can forget Tucker, because Bellinger or and maybe both, but Bellinger or Grisham have to come back, one or the other. And if you don't, like, I think you got to bring back Bellinger. He's having an incredible year. He's having just as good a year as Trent than Kyle Tucker is, and he's going to cost you a hell of a lot less money. So, I mean, I don't want to focus on that because I'm more focused on the Yankees winning a championship than building next year's outfield, but that's going to be a conversation in the offseason. What do they do with Trent Grisham? And if he plays well in the postseason and hits in the postseason, he's going to be a tough guy not to bring back. He's been incredible for the Yankees this year. Mike in the Bronx. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good. Just before I say my Yankee boy, I just want to say I called you up last week saying I was optimistic about my Jets. Well, my optimism is totally gone now with the injury. But
yeah, the Vera Tucker injury is a devastating injury. I'm surprised people are trying to downplay
their running team.
Yeah,
right, they're running team, and he's the best run blocker in the sport. I don't know how you could downplay that injury.
Yeah, I don't know how you can either. Just because they did it a little bit in preseason and moving Tippmann to guard and putting in Myers at center kind of worked a little bit in the preseason doesn't make me feel any better because they lost Simpson in the for a little bit during the preseason. They moved Josh Myers to center and Tippmann to guard. Like, the idea that they were able to stem the tide slightly for a little bit of camp and preseason games means absolutely nothing to me. You're supposed to. This team is going to be built on whether or not they can run the football, and you just lost a world-class run blocker. That's a devastating injury.
Yeah, so my point on Yankees is like this. I'm always a big believer in that if you have a place that's a house of horrors, you need something big to go right in order to flip that. And I think that series, the beginning of the year last year when they swept them and three to four tough games, totally took that out of the equation. You can see ever since they've been playing in that house of horrors for years and years, they have no fear of the Astros there. They, even the game they lost, they were fighting to the end. The Yankees fear factor of Minute Maid Park is totally over. And I just like to point out that I'm really, really nervous about two things that killed them last year. That the back end, the bullpen, is a real issue, and the Yankees' defense are really worrying me. If they don't fix that, they're not going anywhere in the postseason this year.
Well, I mean,
so
yeah, I don't know. We're always so, like, if they give up home runs in the back end of the bullpen and blow games, yeah, they're not going to win. But the idea that, like, you got to play well when you get there. Right now, Weaver is capable. Like, the bullpen's capable. Bednar, Weaver, Cruz are the three I trust right now. I think Tim Hill you can trust against the lefty. Against the lefty lane. It's amazing. Alvarez absolutely owned them this series. I don't think they had one matchup Hill against Alvarez. He killed them these last two games, and I don't think he faced them once. Which is surprising. You'd like to at least see if you can get Hill against Cruz in a big spot. I mean, Hill against Alvarez in a big spot. But yeah, listen, Weaver, Bednar, Cruz. Those three guys right now have to be lights out. They have to be really good. Otherwise, yeah. Unless you're going to get to the other team's bullpen, like, that's part of it. Like, we'll see what happens. The Yankees got to their bullpen. Yankees hit a three-run home run over their closer. Yankees got odd today. Like, you get to the other team's bullpen, maybe you can go somewhere. And then the defense, here's the thing. Like, Rice has earned time in the lineup because of his bat. He's just a far better offensive player against right-handed pitching than Paul Goldschmidt is. And the Yankees right now are going to end up having to do some defensive replacement moving around. There's no doubt about it. At the end of these games, they're going to have to probably take Rice off of first or take Rice out of catching or, you know, I don't even know if Dominguez will play in the outfield, but assuming Judge can throw again, if not, take Stanton out of the outfield or Dominguez out of the outfield. Like, you could even see defensive replacement. I don't think they would ever do it, but for Volpe, depending on how he plays. And I talked about it yesterday, Volpe with another miserable at bat and miserable game. I know he got a single in this game, but he had an opportunity to drive in runs and three straight strikes. Slider up in the zone taken, slider up in the zone taken, fastball up in the zone, swung and a miss. Like, he's lost right now offensively. Defensively, he made a couple throws down in the dirt on tough plays. But Rice right now at first, that was an embarrassing performance from Rice. So the defense, listen, there's no doubt the defense is an issue. But there's no fixing it. They are who they are. They're going to have to just play clean defensively in these games. There's nothing they can do to change it. Kevin and Copog, what's up, Kevin?
What up, C-Mac? I'm proud of you, man. Most Americans, the closest to get to Italy is Epcot.
Yeah, there was part of me who went, you know, it's only been a two-hour flight to go to Epcot. They have the same stuff. No, but well, listen, again, this was more of the brainchild, or really it was manifested by my father-in-law and his brother. It's not like we decided just one day to go to Italy for a family vacation. They rented the place. They invited us over. They did all this stuff to bring the family back to where they grew up. So I have to thank them, but it was an incredible vacation.
So I can see the Mets 30 for 30 right now. I'm dreaming. Three rookies, you know, Tong, yeah. McClain, Sproat. How three rookies brought the World Series to the Mets. How beautiful.
Yeah, well, I mean, that would be nice. It scares me a little bit. Listen, we've seen one start from Tong. Sproat is going to make his major league debut on September 5th, so 6th. He's going to make his major league debut on September 7th. Like, it's tough to trust three rookies who've barely pitched to make all these postseason starts for you. Crazier things have happened. If they're your best options, I'm not saying you should go with lesser options. I'm just saying that's nerve-wracking to me. That's a little nerve-wracking to me. And, you know, we were just talking about it. Me and Fleegs mentioned it to me. With this move and placing Sproat in the rotation against the Reds on Sunday, it means that McClain is now going to pitch against Philadelphia again, which is, a positive and a negative. The positive is you're trying to still win the division, even though it feels like it's probably a bit out of reach. You're still trying to win the division, and to do that, you need to beat the Phils. But the other thing is, if you see Philadelphia in the postseason, now they're going to see McClain, three times in a month. So, but that's the kind of thing. Like right now, it seems great. And I'm not trying to knock McClain. He's been incredible. But it's not easy to just trust these rookies. What does Tiki Barber say all the time? Rookies suck. Like, it's hard to just throw three rookies in a postseason series. That's tough. That's why I'm still looking to see if I can find something from Sanga. I guess we'll find out later today if he's going to accept his role to the minors. My thought of Sproat coming up probably makes me feel they think he is going to the minors. I don't know if that has anything to do with it or plays any role, but I would imagine it kind of does. But I'm still looking to find Minaya or Sanga for a rotation because it's tough to envision going into a postseason series and relying this much on rookie starters. Not only just rookie starters, starters who are going to be making less than a half dozen starts in their major league career before they hit the postseason. Jim in Ronkonkoma. What's up, Jim?
What's up, man? Just switch it up a little bit from the Mets back to the Yankees.
Sure, whatever. We're just hopping back and forth.
Yeah, I'm with you. Obviously, hype. We took the series there, you know, 1-2 out of three. Not to be negative here, but I'm just wondering what it's really going to take here for Volpe to be taken out of the lineup. I mean, to me, it's, you know, the guy has a small little series versus the White Sox, a couple games with two hits. So, yeah. You know, I forgot who was on the who was calling the game that night, if it was Kay, if it was Ruka, but, you know, they're talking that his cold streak's over, yeah. X, Y, and Z, and then just brutal at-bats. This basically this whole series here. I mean,
yep.
I'm really done with watching it. I don't know how versus Toronto you could run him back out there.
I talked about this before. I mean, it's at the point where I'm not in disagreement with you. I probably would make the switch at this point, or at least, you know, try some sort of platooning, or, you know, play Caballero, you know, some games. It doesn't have to necessarily be Volpe's no longer the starting shortstop and now he's a bench player. It could just be, you know, intertwine or, you know, put in Caballero more often, a couple times a week, you know, split it up a little bit. But here's my thought. My thought is because...
I'm just a little nervous. Not to cut you off, too. I'm just a little nervous here with Jazz getting, you know, Jazz with the knee tonight.
Yeah,
that would almost like staple Volpe in for another, you know, who knows how much longer.
Well,
if he is
hurt. However long he's not playing, yes, Caballero is your starting second baseman, and he's still at short. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. If Jazz isn't playing, I don't see how you can play anybody else but Volpe at shortstop.
That's impossible.
So, yeah, it's impossible. But I don't know how long that's going to be. It might just be a game or two. I know you're talking about the specific Toronto series. So, yeah, I think there's a good chance he doesn't play tonight, but I would think Saturday or Sunday that he should be back in the lineup. It didn't seem like it was devastating injuries, just one that was hampering him in the moment. But here's my thought on, like, because we're going to all be very fond of Caballero in his brief. You know, the backup quarterback is always everybody's favorite player. Like, he's got the, offensively for his career, his numbers are just as bad as Anthony Volpe's. Like, and he had some bad at-bats in this game, too. I mean, he swung and missed through high fastballs. Like, he's not this great offensive player. Let's just be honest.
I hear you.
And to
and
me,
I'm not,
he's also,
and I'm not,
he's
and I'm
also
not voting.
Yeah, he's also a good base stealer, the best in the league. And I kind of like having that guy who actually steals bases. Like, you know, well, like Dominguez pinch runs tonight, but he doesn't steal any bases. Like, he's faster, but like I like the idea that Caballero's an explosive base stealer. You can pinch run him at a moment where you want that stolen base, and he'll go get it for you. I kind of like having that on the bench, and I still do think, as crazy as I am, if they could ever get Anthony Volpe hitting in any sort of way, I do think his offensive game is probably better than Caballero, and I'm always chasing best-case scenario. So for me, best-case scenario still is Anthony Volpe being the Yankee shortstop and performing. But it's getting to a point where I don't know how long you can judge. And as long as he's not making errors, I feel better about it. But the defense is what kills you if he's not going to be a good defender either.
No, I'm with you on that, and I don't think Caballero's, you know, the long-term answer or anything like that. I don't think he's this stud player, obviously, or anything, but I feel like the Yankees' hand is almost forced right now because this is just getting so ridiculous. And again, Caballero, like you said, tonight specifically, he did have some bad at-bats too, but in this series in general, Volpe, it just seemed like any time it got to him, not that it was a rally kill, but it was almost like you were rolling your eyes, like, oh, now this is happening.
Yeah, I mean, he did get a hit in the game. But he did get a single in this game. But, yeah, Volpe is an interesting... Right now, I don't know what they should do. Like, I talked about this yesterday because I hated the defense of him. We didn't get a chance to talk about it. the article in The Athletic where Boone gave the quotes about what world would a player like Anthony Volpe be sent down. I mean, it's just, that's borderline, it's borderline disrespectful. Like, I'm all for defending a player, but that's just asinine. The idea that Anthony Volpe has played so well, there would not be another team or anywhere on the planet where you would even suggest sending him down to the minors, that's just a ridiculous statement from Aaron Boone. It's a flat-out ridiculous statement. I get why he makes it, and it doesn't make me overly angry. I don't think he believes it. I think he's trying to put a positive spin on Anthony Volpe because he knows he's getting it from every other direction, and the last thing he needs is his manager giving it to him. But, I mean, it's just stupid. And right now, he's not performing well enough, and as long as he's not making errors, then I don't have a problem because I don't think Caballero is this a much better offensive player, and I do like the idea of being able to deploy the best base stealer in baseball, which he's been the last 2 years, or at least the American League. I like being able to deploy him at any moment I want for a big steal late in the game. I do like that. But at some point, you can't just throw out an absolute zero. He's useless. He's useless. And if he's not making every play defensively, especially, then he's really useless. So I don't know. But they've overcome it because the offense has been great. The offense in this series was great. Even in the loss, I know they scored the last three runs in the ninth inning, but they scored seven runs even in the loss. They have consistently put good at bats. They've you know, relied on the homer a little bit, but they've hit home runs. And I thought home runs disappear when you see good pitching. I guess not. Like, this offense has been really good. And even with Anthony Volpe in it. So I don't know if I want to make any dramatic changes, but, like, I'm giving him some leeway here. I'll give him the Toronto series. I'll give him another stretch because I don't think Caballero is, like, a much better player. But if he starts booting the ball, that's it. Like, another key error, like, that's it. You can't have him out there. And as far as next year goes, I'm done. Like that, I think that's fair. He doesn't have to be off the team. He doesn't have to be cut. He doesn't have to be traded. But the New York Yankees have to bring someone into camp who can be the shortstop. There's got to, at the minimum, there has to be a battle for the position. Anthony Volpe cannot show up to Tampa next year penciled in as the starting shortstop of the New York Yankees. He just can't. This is the New York Yankees. This is not the Pittsburgh Pirates. He can't be the shortstop performing this way for three straight seasons. He can't. And now that the defense has went to hell, he can't. But I'm not so concerned about next season just yet. I'm still focused on this one. And the idea that, honestly, Evan said it, and it's hard to argue for me still. The Yankees are the best team in the American League. I firmly believe that. The Yankees are the best team in the American League. The only question is, will they beat themselves? If they play their game, I don't think there's an American League team that can beat them. If the Yankees play clean defense and their bullpen gets outs, if they can trust at least three guys, if Cruz, Weaver, and Bednar are good, they don't have to be perfect, just good. If they're good in the bullpen and the Yankees don't boot the ball around, I don't think there's a team in the American League that beats them. I really don't. Now, having said that, what's my level of confidence that those things happen? I don't know. Not real high. But I do think they're the most talented team. I think the offense is the best offense in the American League by a mile. I think their starting rotation with Rodon and Fried at the top are and what Cam Schlittler has been over the last month. I think their rotation's as good as any team in the American League. I firmly believe that. The way Seattle's pitching right now, they're better than the Seattle rotation. After Skubal, I have no idea what Detroit is throwing at you. The Red Sox have Crochet and Giolito and Bello, but that's not... Like, I'll still take Max Fried and Carlos Rodon over them. So, like, I don't know where they're not better than everybody else. The only problem is they beat themselves more than anybody else.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.